Welcome home.
Got some announcements here. We'd like to thank everybody, all the VBS volunteers this past week. Thank you. Class participation. America's Keswick is holding an anniversary banquet at the Franconia Heritage on September 12th at 6:30 p.m. Men's Bible Study begins a new book on August 22nd. Meetings are on Thursdays at 7 p.m. for Men's Bible Study. Ladies Bible Study is also starting a new study soon. See Karen or Sharon if you're interested. Please raise your hands if you're here. If you're interested, see them. They meet on Mondays at 7 p.m. Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Same study two times. Grief Share begins September 4th. They will meet on Wednesday from 7 to 8:30 p.m. There is a Constitution event on September 22nd at Palisades High School. See Brenda for more details. And Pastor has more announcements.
What says that right there? Good morning, everybody. Did you have a good week?
Yes.
I know we did. I wanted to share real quick the Franconia Heritage thing. We were just down at family camp, and that's why I want to point this out. It's featuring the staff. The staff are doing a concert. If you remember when we had Keswick here before, the African-American gentleman, Dave, we called him Mr. Keswick. We still call him Mr. Keswick. He's so embarrassed every time we do that. He's a great singer. He's going to be part of the group. And Joyce Ciata, who was married to Robert, is now Joyce Ciata. She's going to be part of that group. And, of course, Bill Welty. And Bill, of course, has transitioned. He's no longer the president of Keswick. They've hired a young man. He's a pastor. Boy, I just can't think of his name. Why is that? I can get in another senior moment. And I'll probably remember it when I'm in the middle of the night. It'll be 4 a.m, and I'll sit up and go, I know his name now. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. They've been praying about transitioning the leadership of Keswick for a long time. And the young guy who is the pastor actually grew up under their ministry. So it's a really great opportunity, and Bill will probably talk about that. But this is a free concert at Heritage Restaurant in Franconia. The reason why I'm sharing about this is that if you go, it's limited seating. You have to have a reservation to go, even though it's free, and you have to make the reservations before next Sunday or by next Sunday. So that's why I'm sharing. So if you're interested in that, please go. I'd like to just welcome today. We have some guests with us. Allie is going to be sharing with us. Allie is a missionary to Japan. And it's not time yet, so don't panic. I'm just introducing. But she is a friend of, she comes to us as a friend of Dave Parker's. And so we're glad to have her today. And she's put a few things out there for display. She's going to share with us a little later in the program. And also at the end of the program, why don't you give a plug for
Jerry.
Jerry, yeah.
Okay. He actually went to my house instead of here, so he's en route to here now. But I have a gentleman.
Is that Jerry back there?
No.
No. Okay.
He's en route.
I don't know him. You know.
Jerry is going to explain to us a tax program that is currently in place where you can kind of get some benefit for contributing to Christian education. And so I just feel like Christians need to be aware. I think it's the best kept secret. It's been around for decades, but I've just learned about it. So if you'd like to stay and find out how it works, I heard the presentation back in June. It's fairly simple. It's just for PA, though. Sorry, guys. It's not you Jersey folks. So, but I'd love for you to stay in here after We are going to have a light refreshment time. It's not a full-blown fellowship meal, but after fellowship meal, probably about 12:30, Jerry will give a presentation about how this works.
Okay, very good. All right. Well, I want to open us in a word of prayer, so if everybody would stand, please. We're going to worship the Lord together. Our Father, we give you praise. You are the everlasting God. Christ is our light, and it's having him as our Savior is wondrous. We thank you for this day that you've given to us. We have much in our hearts to celebrate, much in our hearts to share, to be able to brag on you, Lord, that you worked in hearts and lives of our kids during our vacation Bible school. So even as we have times of sharing the God-citing moments, we give you praise. We just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to come together to pull away from the darkness, the ever-growing darkness of this world, and to be able to share that Jesus has saved us, that brings us into this marvelous, wondrous light. And so, Father, I pray that you would be glorified, be in the middle of our praise and our worship today. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, and it's in Jesus' name and all God's children said. Amen.
Scripture.
Thank you, Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you would read with me, this is taken from the New American Standard Bible. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander.
And like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord.
And coming to him, to a living stone, which has been rejected by people, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also,
as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
For this is contained in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. The one who believes in him will not be put to shame. This precious value,
then, is for you who believe, but for unbelievers, a stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone.
And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this they are also appointed.
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession,
so that you may proclaim
the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God, and you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved,
I urge you as foreigners and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul.
And keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God on the day of visitation.
Let's praise the Lord.
Our blessed Redeemer, see the world his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, hail him, highest of ages in glory, strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children, in his arms he carries us all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent grace. Joyful song.
A moment in missions and introduce you this morning. Come on up, Allie. This is Allie. She's going to introduce herself and her ministry to Japan. So we're glad that you're with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Seltzer. I am so glad to be here. Ohayou gozaimasu. My name is Allie, and I've been a missionary to Japan for the past 2 years now. So this is my first time home in 2 years. It's good to be home, and it's really good to be with you all here today. So I have a presentation to show you, and I'll get right to it because I got about 10 minutes here. So like I said, my name is Allie, or Allison. I'm originally from New York, but I've been in Japan. So here's a video of just a church in Japan. This is a Japanese man who's newly saved, and he wrote his he changed the lyrics of a popular song you may know to glorify God. So let's just start with this.
Oh, Jesus, stand by me, stand by me.
Amen. So he's newly saved, baptized, redeemed, 45 years old. He was a singer, and he decided to sing for Jesus now. So praise God for that. So so this is where I minister. It's called Nishinari in Osaka, Japan. It's the biggest slum in all of Japan. It's also considered the most dangerous part in all of Japan. They have the most crime there per capita. Probably because in less than 3 square miles, it has the largest red light district. It has a huge day laborers district, and also just a general lack of Christian influence and churches. Really no Christian churches there whatsoever. So it's a uniquely desperate place. So why Japan? Jesus called me to Japan, but why? I wondered that many times because I never met a Japanese person before I went there. And I didn't speak the language. I've since learned. But the reason being is that most Japanese people have never seen a Bible in their entire lives. They've never seen a Bible, let alone met a Christian. It's a very rare occurrence because less than 1% of people in Japan are Christian. So that means there's 99% that are unreached in Japan. And most people consider themselves either Buddhist or Shinto. So they have that family dynamic of having these false religions. Some of the issues. So this is Nishinari. It's a slum. So as you can tell, that's what it looks like. That's where I live, and that's where I minister. So some of the issues that I work with, and some of the issues in this area, are these sex brothels that these women work in, whether by choice or not by choice. And you know, these women are trapped in sex work, and they have nothing. No hope, just no hope if you speak with them. Here's just another picture I've taken doing ministry there of just some of the women. It's kind of like an Amsterdam situation. Besides that, there is the largest homeless population there, and many people there, they don't have anywhere to go. They are ostracized by their own society, and they turn to drugs and alcohol in the streets. They just have no hope, and all they really need is Jesus to change everything. So the current things that I do in my ministry is, the number one thing I would say I do is street evangelism. I go in the streets, I meet the people right where they're at, and just talk with them. And the way that I can interact with them is I'll put together care packages. I have some tracks, or I'll make my own tracks and put some food in there and give it to them, and just start a conversation. I've lived there among the people for 2 years now, so I'm kind of like the neighborhood Christian foreigner lady that everyone knows, and everyone knows my name, and they'll see me walking down the street and just say, oh, like, sister, and I'm like, hi, you know, whether they're saved or not. I kind of made a name for myself just going to them, living with them, doing life with them, and I've seen many people get saved. So just street evangelism, just sitting with them, talking with them, sharing the gospel with them is a really big part of I like to form relationships with them. So also I fold origami and then like flat Bible verses on them and like put them on rice balls and then like hand them out to people too, and Bibles. And so I'm interested in, I think if they just see the word of God, hear the word of God, they will believe in the word of God. I fully believe that. So I've also done some mission coordination. So God, even though I'm like a one-woman ministry, the Lord has sent laborers to work with me. So I've had the opportunity to work with YWAM twice, and also a Singaporean. So this is YWAM from Hawaii. They came. This man got saved. He was having heart pain, and we prayed over him, and he gave his life to the Lord. It was healed. And then, here's a video of us. This man came a little late to our event, and he said, I missed all the worship. And he said, he's not saved at all, but he's like, can I hear you sing, and can I get some prayer? We said, absolutely. So we sang just for him.
Me omareta ima mo
very blessed that we sang just for him, and we prayed for him, and he went away happier than ever. It was such a blessing. Like I said, I'm really involved in doing local outreach. So for the winter time, we gave away tons of clothing. I organized this event. We gave away lots of Bibles, lots of clothing, warm things for the homeless day laborers there, which was such a blessing. And that's us packing things together and having a good time. So just some local outreach. And let's see. Okay, so then this is on YWAM from Hong Kong that I also came and sent a bunch of students to work with me. So as you can see, this Japanese man on the left picture, left-hand side, he gave his life to the Lord that day. And this is just us coordinating. And then this man as well, he also, on the older gentleman on the right-hand side, he gave his life to the Lord. And as you can see him sobbing, he was just so received the gospel with so much love and just so happy to know Jesus. His just face completely changed. This man on the left-hand side, Takemori, he not only gave his life to the Lord, we led him to the Lord, but he also got radically healed. He couldn't walk that day, but then that day he stood up. So he not only was radically healed and experienced a miracle from Jesus, but then he also gave his life to the Lord and has never been the same since. And then that's Usami-san on the left-hand side. He gave his life to the Lord. He's the one I had to talk to many, many, many times, but eventually, and now he's going to church every week. And also on the left-hand side, Nei-chan, she gave her life to the Lord. You know, still working with him on lots of things, but salvation is there. And then this is also someone who was homeless, gave his life to the Lord, and now evangelizes with us on our team to reach those that of his friends that are still stuck without believing. So just incredible, incredible people. Since I've been in Japan, I've led 10 people to the Lord. So 2 years, 10 people, I was like, okay, I think there's more, but that's how many I'm still following up with and discipling at this current time. So that's what I consider. So this is a Bible study that we have too. On the left, after we evangelize in the streets, we have a tank we can baptize people in, and then we also have a Bible study that we invite everyone to hear more about the Lord. And this was 2 years ago when I first started going, and then this is what it's like now. Okay, so it's maybe tripled in size, I would say, in the past 2 years. So God is it's just a testimony that God is just doing such a marvelous, marvelous work in Japan and in this very desolate area. So pleased to report that. Also, I'm involved in my children's ministry. We have a lot of missionary kids and half Japanese and also Japanese children that love the Lord. I'm so impressed with their growth all the time. And just one last testimony. This woman here, she was not saved. She was working at the brothel. And through mentoring her one-on-one, my pastor introduced us. She's since been saved, been baptized, and she's been free from working in the sex industry. She's living a happy life now. Her whole life has changed. So I just give glory to God for all that he's done and all that he will continue to do. So this woman is living a changed life now. So from this mission, like I said, there's really no central church near this park where I minister. So the vision God has given me is to eventually plant a church here and to raise up these Christian leaders. So if you could please pray with me for these needs, just Japanese people to have open hearts, eyes, ears to receive the good news, for more financial support to sustain this mission, God's protection as it's quite a dangerous field, for the permanent church building, and then just these people that have given their life to the Lord, that they would grow. And just let me share just one scripture with you, and then that's it. But Romans 12, 9 through 13, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fever. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. And share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. I just thought that this is just, love is the answer, and that this would touch everyone here today, so I hope it did. And I just give all the glory to God, and I just thank you, Pastor Salsa, for allowing me to speak today. Thank you.
Before you come down, real quick, share. You do have a church in Japan that you work with and support. Share with us where that church is and the name of the church.
My home church there?
Yeah.
Yep, so I'm involved with Hope Chapel. It's a part of the JEC, Japanese Evangelical Churches, and it's kind of similar to like a Baptist church, very reformed Christian church, and I work with Pastor Yoshida Yastaka and his wife, and we've been co-laboring together, do ministry in the streets together, and I serve their church in
Okay,
Japan.
Yeah. Great, thank you.
Nihongo shabete imasyo.
I speak Japanese.
All right. Thank you, everybody. And it's important that you, if you want to give to her, we have a love offering out here on the table. If you want to support that. To let you also know, she's made an application to our missions committee. And that's going to go through the missions committee as, you know, to seek support. So make sure you get a card. Remember to pray for her. And if you have any other questions, get with her at the end of the service and ask them. All right? Okay. All right. Let's continue our worship.
Please stand. So big, so strong, and so mighty.
ahead and start this next segment by showing you what happened with Vacation Bible School this week.
I want the world to know. As you can see, we had a marvelous time with these children, and music is a great vehicle. And you can also see we do music and motions, because that gets the Word of God really in. And there's one song that we waited. We didn't put it in the video, because we wanted the privilege of all those who participated to come up and give you a demonstration, because this particular song is called Make Your Move. And as you could see, it was a game theme. But it's Make Your Move for Jesus Christ. And this particular song, I love it because it's the ABCs, the very simple process of how do you accept Jesus Christ into your life. So kids, LP, come on up. What? Oh, Stella, Maya, Jaron, Levi.
Come on.
Come on, y'all.
And let's bring up some of the adults.
Yep.
Come
now we
on.
Get the adults. Come on.
Come on, Mike.
Don't worry, guys. I'll help you out from down here. Okay. Oh, good job. I could hear them singing in the back to the video. Come on, you can do it. Oh, Sharon, get up here, girl. And I have to tell you, I had some helpers, and I wish Maisie was here, but Silas was up there at the close. He was, oh, look, now he's shy. Today he's shy. All right, gang, you ready?
He's shy. The shy day. It's like Friday, but it's a shy day.
So while we're waiting for that, any of you guys have a God sighting that you want to share?
I have one. I had the younger guy group, these guys, first to third grade.
Make sure you're talking in the mic. Oh,
sorry. And we had story time, and story time was really good. Lori does an amazing job at telling stories. And we had a class of eight, Robin and I, and on the first day we had five kids get saved, and that was great.
Anybody else? Quick, before we sing, go ahead, Dave. Oh, come on, Silas, you can do it.
Come on, boy. We had the same situation. It was either the first or second day. Lori gave the invitation, and all of a sudden, half the class is gone to see Miss Sandy, and it's just amazing to see what God can do when people give of themselves, and that's what this church does. You guys just give so much, and the results are there, so thank you.
Yep, and I'll follow that up with, we had 20 volunteers, an average of 25 kids per day. We had 10 decisions. Some of them were very clear salvation decisions. We gave five new Bibles to families and to the kids. we had some assurances. In fact, one of them remembered from last year when he accepted the gospel, and I was talking with him, and I said to him, I said, do you lose your salvation? He goes, no, because Miss Lori says, I will never leave, and he said his name. He still remembered his Bible teaching on that. We had like I said, assurances and parents who interacted with us, and we had some wonderful times talking after Bible Club with some of the kids and some of the parents. So God did a great thing. He planted a lot of seeds, and just keep praying that fruit comes. We want to see the fruit of that. So, all right, let's sing our song. At the end. Okay, thanks, guys. All right. So children are dismissed. Children are dismissed for Children's Church. And if you're here, we're going to spend the rest of the service actually moving away from Daniel because of such a good week that we had. I'd like you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. As you look at the games and things in front, the reason why we left them is because think about the days and age that you grew up. Kids, you used to have family game night. You know, that's becoming a thing of the past, too. Along with becoming old-fashioned and out of vogue, along with phone books and, you know, things like that. Now with the electronic things that kids have today, you don't have game boards anymore. Some of the kids, they didn't know things like Operation. They didn't know what Dominoes was. They didn't know what Barrel of Monkeys was. And you know there's a game called Life, you know? And I love the fact that over the Bible room door, every time the kids came in, we had the letters for L-I-F-E, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the reason I got my songs mixed up, but our verse for the week was Psalm 25, verse 4 in the NIV. Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. That's just verse 4. And so all week we were reminded of our church and what the Lord is doing in our lives. He's taking us through the twists and turns. And, you know, one of the things that I remember playing in family games, the things that make it so important is that it's face-to-face. Secondly, you learn a lot of life lessons as you're playing the game. I don't know how many times we're playing the game as a family, and my parents would always say, you don't have to be the winner, come on, because life isn't a game. You're not always going to win everything. Remember that? You know, and kids are growing up today, and they don't know those things. One of the other things that my parents used to tell me is, you know, even though you're playing the game of life and you're paying the bills and stuff like that, it's going to be hard. You have to make decisions all through your life. It's not all going to be fun and games when you're going through life. There are going to be times when you have to make decisions, where you're going to have moments where your faith is going to be tested. You have to make decisive plays in your life. But don't forget who you're playing for. And that's why I want us to remember that the game of life is not just fun and games. It's following Jesus, because Jesus is the life. And this verse reminds me of that. I've got the verse coming up on the screen for you in the New American Standard Bible. When I was doing my devotions, notice the words that I highlighted. These are the four words that just kept shouting out to me all week. But you are a chosen people. You're a chosen people. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. In other words, we're His. He owns us. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him, Jesus, who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And the first thing I want you to see is that our place in the game comes at the beginning of that verse. But you, and I love the beginning of that verse. I love when I'm reading the scriptures and it starts off, but you. And in the context of what's happening is, if you're looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, he reminds them in verses 1 and 2 to lay aside the things in your life that used to be controlling your life. He says, lay aside all those things that are deceptive. Lay aside all those lies and hypocrisies. Lay aside the old life. And get rid of those things, because verse 4, we've come to Him. He's the living stone. He's the Lord. And there are going to be people who reject Him all your life, but He is the one for us. And so when He says in verse 9, but you, it's catching our attention. So put your name in there. And I love doing that. I love when I'm reading the scriptures in a personal quiet time. I love to do that. I love to write, but Corvin, okay, Lord, I got it. He's got your attention. You know, when parents call your name once, you kind of ignore it. But when they double your name, you know something's up. You better pay attention. And here the Lord is saying, but you, put your name in there, but you, believer, are a chosen. Stop there. You've got to stop at that word. Chosen. What does it mean to be chosen? It's the reason we're in the game in the first place. The reason that we're there. When you were growing up as kids, I dreaded those moments when you were choosing teams, let's say in gym class or on a baseball game or some kind of a game where they're picking sides. And you might have been the best player and you were probably picked first, but that wasn't me. I was the guy who was more down the end, and I would, unfortunately, if I was at the very end, I dreaded the fact that by the time they're going to get to me, they're going to be arguing, not picking me. The guy's going to go, you take Corvin. I don't know if that was traumatic for you, but I hope not. Well, then again, it depends on the game, too. But we are chosen, and it's not like up in heaven, God needed you on His team because you're this great person. It's not like that at all. The idea here is elect. It means that He called you when you didn't deserve it. He called you into the game. He called you out of sin to himself. You couldn't do it yourself. He did it for you. And I love that. I love the fact that it's telling us that God had to do the choosing. Because our sinfulness and our wickedness and our brokenness, we were too broken to do it ourselves. I love the fact that not only did God do the choosing, but he didn't just choose you, but this is a team event. This is a church event. He chose a people. And he included you. And that speaks to us in many different levels, because sometimes we think our life, if we didn't have a family, if we didn't have a church family, we would be lonely people. And the reason that God had this plan to put together this church in this place, in this time, is because he chose you to be part of this family. He said, I don't know about you, but growing up, I didn't always like being a seltzer. I didn't like the fact that I had two older sisters and a younger sister and a younger brother and a really, 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 really young sister. Years later, when I was in college, my sister Faith was born. I'll never forget when my mom called me. I was sleepy, and it was late at night, and we had the old payphones. There's another thing that went out of vogue, and I was on the payphone, and she goes, "You're gonna be a brother." And I went, "So is Linda having a kid? My sister Linda, is she having a kid?" Mom goes, "No, you're going to be a brother." Mom, you sound like you're pregnant or something, you know. I am. What? You can't be. I'm going into college. You know, that he chose us not to be alone, but to be in this family. He calls the church, and we're needed in this family. And I'm tired of Christians who don't live for their church. They're always looking for something to in their life, but they don't realize that they need to be in this family, because the best way to not be selfish is to share a room with your family. You know, think about that spiritually. That's why lone Christians are not successful in seeing Christian victory in their lives, because we have to have the give and take of one another, of people rubbing and polishing us and praying for us and helping us, because there are going to be situations and temptations in life we cannot win ourselves. And the third thought on this that I absolutely love is, because he chose you, don't forget who we are. Who we are is we are his children. Romans tells us we're adopted and chosen into his family. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I love that song. If you haven't heard that song, when we were down at Keswick, we sang that song every day, and I still get choked up singing that song. But when you know whose you are, it is just so important. I was reading a Puritan who said this about that. He said, "Beloved, do you know whose you are and who you belong to? What cannot we expect from God, who is now our God?" In other words, there's this sense of belonging. There's this sense of privilege. There's this sense of great love for you that it gives us. And he says, what he is and what he's able to do and what he has, all of that is yours. It's all ours. Having God, we have all. However, if God be ours and all things else, how come it is we want so many things? Because we live in a world that's fallen and dark, and we always want other things. God is our God in the midst of all, and is never more our comfort than in the extremes of life, those twists and turns. Oh, this is sweet and comfort, that God owns us and we are his, and he wants us. Now, when we have God, then all is ours too. Listen, he chose you. Here's the second thing, our privilege in this game. When you're playing a game, you're often worried about who's going to get to the end of the board first. You might be in first place, you might be in second place, you might be in third place, and as you're playing, have you ever pulled the "I'm ahead of you" thing going. And what happens is that we lose perspective as to what we're to be doing in this game. And it is our privilege being in this game to have a job. And that's what the rest of the verse says. Your job, he says, you're a chosen people, but your job is a royal priesthood. Man, you didn't know you could claim royalty today, did you? And you don't claim it because you have any royal blood in you. You can claim it because Jesus gave his royal blood for you. And then you're a holy nation. That means you're set aside for a specific purpose. You're a people for God's own possession. You know, that means that there are going to be times in our lives as we're doing the twists and turns that we need to make some choices. And you know, when you're playing a game and you go, well, do I go to the left or do I go to the right? Well, every day as you are living this life, if you are serving God and doing so with a heart, because it says that you're a royal priesthood. You know, I remember when I was in my first church, I had people telling me this all the time. Pastor, we pay you to do your thing. You know, don't ask us to witness. Don't ask us to read our Bible. Don't ask us to do things. That's your job. We pay you. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Because you don't pay to be a Christian, and you don't pay the pastor to do something, because my job is to help you grow in the things of the Lord and teach you the Word of God. But your job is to be the priesthood. You see, when you went into the temple in the Old Testament, you gave your sacrifice to the priest, and the priest took that sacrifice and put it on the altar and did work for you. So when you come to church, you don't come just to get a blessing. Oh, I had a good day at church today. Why? I felt blessed. That is very selfish. You go to church to serve your God. When you come here and we're singing worship songs, are you worshiping him? When you come here, as you are listening to the Word of God, are you worshiping him? Are you saying, okay, this is my job. I'm going to take this truth that God instructed me in, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to live this truth. Because you're going to be making decisions at every twist and turn, and you've got to determine what you're going to do. Think about Joshua 25, verse 15, where he said, choose you this day who you will serve. Every day, when you're in that moment of juncture, you need to ask yourself, am I going to do this for me, or am I going to do this for the Lord? Or think also of Matthew 6, 24. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other. Choose today who you're going to serve. I mean, we have to remember it's our privilege in this game of life that we're serving him. Third thing is our purpose in life's game. What are we about? Are we just about getting the pot of gold at the end of the game? No. Even though we can praise God that we're going to go to a place that's called a city of gold, where the streets are gold. But that's not the whole purpose. The purpose is that we're going to see him. The purpose is that while we are here, we proclaim, notice the verse, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him. We get to brag on Jesus. You get to proclaim how excellent he is. So when you go out that door, how are you living your life? Are you living your life all about you? How excellent you are? Or are you using every opportunity that God gives you to point and say, he's excellent. My life's a mess. I'm a messy Christian. I'm not perfect at all. Things go wrong for me, but he's excellent and he can help you. I made a prayer this year. Lord, help me to be better, because I'm not by nature an evangelist. It really takes a lot for me to go up to strangers and people I don't know, and sometimes even the people you do know, because you know how they're going to treat you. I'm not naturally gifted in going up to people and talking about the Lord. So I had to pray this year, Lord, I want to be better at listening to your open opportunities. When I get an opportunity to proclaim Jesus in some way, that I do that. I take it's more than just praying for people, but I actually invite them or talk to them about God. And I've even gotten to the point where if I don't know what to say, the best thing to say is, how can I pray for you? And you would be surprised. I had a guy say to me 2 weeks ago, nobody's ever done that before. You would be surprised at how people appreciate you even asking that question. Because they're going through some tough times. Well, I walked into Turkey Hill, and the gal up at the counter was so frustrated. And she said, I'm a this, and I'm a that, and I'm just so stupid. And I looked at her, and I said, you know, I appreciate you. In fact, I thank God for you. Oh, thanks. And that's where the conversation ended, and I left. But you would be surprised when you proclaim the excellency of Jesus and all that he is, when you draw the focus off of you and put it on him, you'd be surprised that people want to hear that. And so ask God for the boldness to be able to do that in your life. Here's the last point. Our pleasure in life's game. Who Jesus called us out of darkness. Listen, we live in a dark world. And I just want to say this, having come through VBS, we as a church value the innocent purity, wholeness of God-given childhood. And if you don't understand how fast that has gone away and how the world is doing everything it can to twist the minds of children so that they don't even know they're a boy or a girl anymore. We live in a dark world. And how many times we've observed, when I was helping Lori throughout, we observe things that we see happening with these children that don't know much about the Bible, and it's breaking our hearts. We are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. When my sister, Karen, who's the second oldest in the family, was young, I remember she had real, real thick glasses. She had literally the Coke bottle glasses. I mean, they were thick. And we found out that she had some kind of deterioration taking place in her vision. And so they took her down to Chops Hospital, and they did surgery, and the doctor did a terrible job. He scarred her optic nerves, and scar tissue formed around her optic nerves, and it left her legally blind the rest of her life. And to this day, she's 62 years old. She, every day of her life, has been growing darker and darker and darker. Now, she can still see a little bit of light, but she sees enough light that she knows that it's not very light. And I was thinking about my sister and her experience, and that breaks my heart. But that is the experience of living in this world. We are darkened by our sin, and we have just enough light to know that we're not doing so well. And that's the heart of people around you. And God is doing this miraculous thing. He's not doing it because we're marvelous. There's something marvelous about you and me. He's doing it because he's taking us from darkness and bringing us into this marvelous light. It's like being a coal miner, living your whole life in the coal mines. Can you imagine coming up out of the coal mines and seeing the sun for the first time? That's the difference for a person who's living their life in the darkness of their sin and their lostness, and they see Jesus for the first time. Do you remember that moment? I hope you do. I hope you do. You know, a lot of people I talk to, they say, well, I've always known God. I'm a Christian. I've always known him. Listen, you know when you're a true Christian, because there's a moment of conversion where you're twice born. There's a moment when the Spirit of God gives you such conviction of your sin that you have to ask Jesus to save you because you need him. And you don't just, you're not going to heaven because I have a loving feeling towards God. You go to heaven because you realize he needs to save me. And he is making your life marvelous. Isn't that incredible? So as I was going through this verse this week, I came across this quote, and I want to share it with you because it's very pertinent. Life has no remote, so get up and change it yourself. Have you ever had that happen to you guys? Fellas, has that ever happened to you?
Hey, honey, could you turn the channel for me?
And if she turns around and says, get up and change it yourself, you deserve it, okay, guys? You deserve it. You know, we can say our Christian lives, oh, God, so marvelous, so marvelous. God changed me. There are things in my life I want you to change, but there's some things you better start making the choice. Change yourself. Remember the two verses I said in Joshua. Maybe there's something in your family that needs to change. Get up and start changing. Ask the Holy Spirit for the help to change. Don't do it in your own effort, but get up and start moving your faith, okay? Because talking about it and knowing it's not getting you anywhere. It's only going to make you stale. Choose you this day. If you're in a moment of temptation, stop talking about giving into it. Stop doing the squirrel cage over and over and over, giving into that temper, giving into that lust, giving into those things. No, you choose. You choose. Get up and move and choose and ask the Spirit of God to help you. And so as I was going through, these were what I call 9 steps in the game of life that all of us need to play. And these are applications. So number 1, remember, God chose me. I don't know any truth that is incredibly loving as that truth. That fact that God has taken you and made something of you and wants to make something of you. And when you live your life of faith, he delights over you and embraces you, just like those kids this week, looking at those kids, and you just want to put your arms around them and love on them and show them what is just wonderful. Charles Spurgeon said this, every true Christian is marvelous. And I love that. And sometimes we need to stop putting ourselves down and stop being discouraged and stop dragging our feet and say, you know, God chose me. He wants me. He's incredibly madly in love with you. Maybe you had a hard week and you're having a hard time believing that truth, and you need to right now make a move. You need to choose and tell the Lord how incredible he is to you. Here's the second thing that came out of this. God has chosen and privileged and given you a privileged purpose and plan for your life. So daily, remember, ask God to make you daily aware of the choices that you're making so that you're thinking, I can't serve myself and God, or I can't serve something sinful in my life and God. I can't forget about God throughout my day. I've got to use the moments and offer up prayer in your choosings. And that's how you become a faithful, victorious Christian. And if you just expect yourself to go in the right direction, you're not going to make it. Get up off the couch and take the stop asking someone else to change it. God, change me. Get the remote and ask the Spirit of God to give you a little self-control. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Give you a little joy, and you make the choice. Here's another one. We get to show others how excellent Jesus is. Do you know what a great privilege that is? You get to show other people by the way you live how excellent he is. When you go out these doors, you get to show everybody you work with, everyone you meet, even your family, how excellent Jesus is. That just blew my mind all week. Here's another one. Each day is an opportunity to brag on Jesus. What has he done for you? What has he done for me? you know, my life is much better when I'm following you, Jesus. We sang that in one of our songs. My life is so much better when I'm following Jesus than when I'm just doing it my own way, my own thing. In the game for myself. In the game to get what I want. That's not what the game is about. Here's another one that the Lord just really talked to my heart. People will always be struggling and stumbling in an ever-darkening world. I know it surprises you. I know it stresses you out. I know it upsets us. I hate when people start throwing F-bombs at me. You know, Lori and I had to talk about this, and I had this challenge that the next time somebody F-bombs me, I'm gonna J-bomb them. Do you know what that means? I'm going to say to them, Jesus loves you, friend. You should see him jump. You should see him go. Well, they might yell at you some more F-bombs. It doesn't matter. Just keep telling them, Jesus loves you. That's what's marvelous about Jesus. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses. People know when they're doing wrong. You don't have to tell them they're doing wrong. They know, because the Spirit of God is working. They know your standard. They know that life decision or that thing that they're doing, they know it's wrong. And if they're saying, don't talk about that with me, that's their way of code saying, I'm trying to get away from Jesus as fast as I can. Pray for him more. Pray for him more. I love this. Be on guard, because there's a strategic enemy trying to shut down your influence and witness. And you know the best way he does it? He gets you to be inactive. He gets you to forget about doing your devotions. He gets you to forget about praying. He gets you to get so concerned and stressed out with everything that you're going through that you don't take the time to ask God for the strength. Strength rises when you wait upon the Lord, even in our church verse. Where it says at the very end of the verse, you are God, my Savior, and my waiting hope is in you all day long. And that idea of the word that's hope in the NIV, it's wait in the King James, that word is the idea of twisting yourself, wrapping yourself around something to gain strength to go up the trellis. And so there are going to be times when you need to remember that there is an enemy out there who's against you playing the game and following Jesus, and he's going to do everything he can to keep you stopped in the game, to make you sit down in the middle of the street and not get up and go on, to make you feel so lousy, I'm such a failure, I'm such a mess, I keep doing everything wrong. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from playing the game because he doesn't want you to be effective in witnessing. And here's the number one. I really need you, Lord, no matter the twists and turns I face. Can't do this life without you. I can't get through this game of life without you. Just to be close to you is my desire. That needs to be your heart's desire every day. Here's another one that, as I was going through this wonderful verse, the exalt principle, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. To go up, you must what? Go down. Humility is seeing yourself as God sees you. And the reason why I say that is while you're playing the game of life, you need to be humble. You need to remember that everybody around you is not there for your beck and call, but you need to be humble. I have to confess something to you. I go to Chick-fil-A just because I love hearing my pleasure. And you know what? I selfishly am waiting for it. And if I don't hear it, person walks away, I'll look at Lori and I'm ashamed of myself. I go, they didn't say it's my pleasure. And Lori, humble yourself. And really, that's true. That's true. We got to remember that we've got to be humble in life or we're not going to get through it well. Be an intentional witness. Do more than just pray for people. Invite them. Invite them. Here's the last one. In the end, we must be ready to glorify the Lord, because really that's our whole purpose. All our hope and eyes need to be on you, Lord. And I prayed all week that PCBC would genuinely proclaim his excellencies. We get to tell everybody how excellent Jesus is, and they get to see him transform our lives. So what kind of a heart do you need? Verse 9, but you. Remember to put your name in there? So what kind of heart do you need today? You need a genuine, humble heart? Do you need a genuine, humble heart? You need to be, before you leave today, say, Lord, there's an area of my life that I'm not proclaiming your excellencies in. And I'm messing up, and I need to come before you and humble my heart. Do you have a willing, grateful heart? Do you know, I am learning to be, I don't have the verse off the tip of my tongue, but there is a verse that I found this year that the best way to fight envy, the gimmies, the I wants, the selfish want of things, the jealousy of things, is to have a grateful heart and to pray back to the Lord. Lord, forgive me for wanting this, but help me be grateful for you because you've given me this. And I'm telling you, it will change your whole direction if you have that kind of a willingly grateful heart. So what kind of heart? Humble heart? Willingly grateful heart? How about an intentionally guarded heart? Because if you're not, as Proverbs says, guard your heart, for out of it comes the wellsprings of life. If you're not guarding your heart, you can get caught off guard sometimes. And there are many times that we need to remind ourselves in Romans 6 that we're dead to a particular temptation or thing that's always pulling at our lives. And we need to thank the Lord. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. So maybe today you need to do that. You need to intentionally say, God, I haven't been guarding my heart today in this area of my life. I want to guard my heart. And here's the last one. Marvelously have a glorifying heart. You get to show the excellencies of Jesus. And I'm going to close with this wonderful illustration. One of the boys, I guess I hope I'm safe to say his name. His name is Brentley. This kid was incredible. Talking with him in counseling, talking with him all week, every day he came up and he had something to proclaim to me. And there are times when you're tired and you're grouchy and you're grumpy and your heart's not in it, and I'm standing here and I was ready to go home and I was already in my mind, in my pajamas, up in bed. And I'm standing here and the littlest kids come out first. It was at the end of the day, and I saw that they had made these paper hearts and they had tissue paper so they could look through. Emma, good job. She was the craft leader. And little Brentley comes up to me. Well, first of all, I said, what kind of heart you made? And they all had to show me their hearts. All those kids, every one of them got up. There was like 15 of them and they're all, look at my heart. No, look at my heart. No. Brentley comes up to me and he goes, here's my heart, Pastor. I said, well, that's very nice. You know, and I thought it looks like all the other hearts. He goes, do you notice my heart? And I looked at it. He goes, do you see the black in there? He said, nobody else would use the black tissue paper. But we're supposed to hold this up to the window so the sun comes through. And I chose the black on purpose because when I hold my heart up, Jesus forgave me of those black sins. Out of the mouth. That's a marvelously glorifying heart. Do you have that heart today? Father God, as we close, I thank you so much for choosing us. And we come to worship you in your excellence today. We thank you. We have been made special people. We are your church. We have a royal duty. We have a priesthood of serving you and worshiping you when we come to this place. We're a people who belong to you and not ourselves. Help us believe who you've made us to be in Christ. It makes us feel so special, so privileged and loved upon that you chose us first. Jesus, how wonderful you are. Holy Spirit, help us to be humble today. Humble ourselves as you see us. And Father, please orient our heart. Maybe more gratitude, maybe more humility, maybe more excellence in you. Father, guard our hearts from sinful pleasures and being attacked by the enemy all week to shut us down and to ruin us and to make us feel less than who you made us to be and called us to be. We who were once living in darkness now are in this marvelous light. And Father, I pray that you would help us to want to have the marvelous light. If you're here this morning and you need the marvelous light, you've never had that moment, you've never actually had the moment where you said, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior, I ask you, don't leave today without putting your faith and trust in the marvelous Savior that Jesus is. You want to have a marvelous family? What do you need to get up out of that chair and hit the remote for? You want to have a marvelous life? What is it that you need to do to let the Holy Spirit gain control of your heart? You want to have a marvelous church? Well, are you going to come to church and be a person who is like a priest serving for God's good pleasure? Are you serving God? When you leave church, do you look up and go, God, I served you today. I don't care what anybody else did. Father, I pray that you would make us that kind of a people where we show the excellencies. We get to show the world the excellencies of Jesus and how he's changing our lives. Oh God, we give you our hearts. We give you our lives. Oh, I want so much to be like little Brentley that I hold up my heart and say, look at that area of my life, Lord. You washed it clean. Look at this area of my life, Lord. You're changing me. You're humbling me. Father, we just lay our hearts before you today. In Jesus' powerful name. And all God's people say.
Would you please stand?
Thank you.
want to take you with us today as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I just remembered, if you want a copy of the video, Daniel can give you a copy. So how he does that, just go talk to him, okay? All right.